more importantly, you bought a pig?
Oh, yeah, we had a, well, I've gotten, yeah, we bought a pig to eat.
Yeah, I'd like to hear the story about the pig you bought to eat. Did you and Michael Butler bought a pig?
We split a pig, yeah.
You split a pig. So how does this process go? Where do you go to the pig market, the pig store?
No, we bought this from Future Farmers of America auction at the Alameda County Fair.
Do they have a website? Do you do this online or you go there?
No, you have to go to the auction.
And you see the pig and you go like, you look tasty? Is that how it works?
Well, Butler's approach was low bid, low ball every pig that came up until one got through.
He didn't really want to buy the pig, is what you're saying.
No, he wanted to buy the pig, but he was real strict on what he's going to pay.
Okay.
And even though it's like a tax write-off and there's a bunch of...
What? Advantages. Wait a minute. Buying a pig is a tax write-off?
Well, if you buy a pig at an auction for Future Farmers of America or 4-H at a county fair and you pay 1 cent over the market price of hogs at that point, mm-hmm. which you will because these pigs are not cheap, you get to write off that money as a charitable contribution. Because the money goes to the kids who get to, it helps them to college to go to school.
Wait, what kids? What kids? The kids?
The kids who raise the pigs.
You took a pig from a kid?
Yeah, and apparently the kid was in tears.
Oh, no.
And Martina was there, Butler's daughter, and she says that she doesn't know if she can eat the pig named Rosie. Butler, on the other hand, got a picture with the pig. And so he got this. By the way, the pig is delicious. So Butler got it, and the kid, apparently they all do this, and you have to kind of, I guess, tolerate it. The kid, a little 11-year-old girl, you know.
Oh, no.
She's in tears.
It was her pet pig, and you took the pig and ate it.
Yes.
You're such a horrible man. You should go back and you should go back to the kid and say, "Here, you want some bacon from your pet pig?"
He apologized to her, but you know she was the pig was raised to be eaten, not to be hanging around the house.
Uh-huh.
So
you're a mean old man.
I wasn't there.
You're a horrible man.
It was Butler who was the mean old man.
Hey, kid, your pig looks delicious.
Butler wants a picture with the pig. He wants to know the name of the pig. So anyway, we went to the butcher, a great butcher out in Manteca.
Hey, wait. Can I ask you? I need to understand the process. So you had the pig, and the pig is at this point alive.
Yes.
So the pig is like, squeaky, 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 squeaky. And you take the...
Beep, 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 beep.
So there's a kid crying over here.
Yeah.
There's Butler doing Facebook pictures with the pig. And and you're taking the pig to a great butcher.
Oh, the butcher's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, it's a Portuguese butcher, and they actually make a linguiça just at the shop. You're going to have to go there to get it. So anyway, we bought a pig, and it was all as a process. I'm going to write a little paper on this and sell it. For 99 cents, so people could know how to do this.
Like
We bought a cow a month earlier, or a heifer
from some kid again.
No, we bought this from a farm. This is the pre. This is one of the young.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm all for eating the pig.
Yeah,
but the little kid thing is a little disturbing.
It's very disturbing. I don't like it.
That there's some organization that helps kids raise piglets. 11 years old. I don't know. In America, outside of rural America, certainly the San Francisco Bay Area, these kids don't understand that pigs are for eating.
They're in Future Farmers of America. They better learn to understand.
This was a future farmer who was crying about.
Yeah.
Was she like
apparently
really?
All the little girls, they raise these pigs for their college education, and then they sell the pig, and they're very upset about it because they know the pig is going to get butchered and eaten.
You can tweet her a picture of your ham sandwich. I'm sure she'll love it.
I'm sure she won't, but it's just the way it is. So anyway.
Yeah, of course, and I'm agreeing with you, but it's the whole idea.
Yeah, I know. The whole scene is kind of weird, especially bizarre in the Bay Area, but I was convinced that there's good eating down here, because we do this in Washington. We buy pigs and cows and lambs and have them butchered. And it's a more common practice in where you are, in your neck of the woods, right now in Boise.
Boise.
Everybody does it.
Yeah.
And so we're doing it locally. even though I have to go all the way to Manteca, which is an hour and a half damn near, to get to the butcher, because nobody can do this in the Bay Area because it's like too many people put signage. No, killing animals is bad. Eat vegetables. So,
Did you kill the pig with a machete, though? That's the question.
No, you hire a... It's part of the process. There's a guy who... We had... There used to be a guy up in Washington called the Zen... I forgot, the Zen killer, something like that.
The Zen killer.
You have these guys, the guys who kill the animal are specialists. It's not the butcher. And there was this guy called the Zen brother, and he apparently would sweet talk the animal.
To death.
He'd sweet talk the animal, and then before the animal knew what was going on, then boom, off him. So the animal was more tender.
I will say... That it is, of course, extremely important that that the animal is not distressed before being butchered.
The little girl argues that the animals that are the most loved, that pigs that are the most loved by their owner that was raising them, their guardian, are tastier. She's totally convinced of this.
Well, no, I agree. I agree too that. That's like the cows we saw in Utah. I bet you that, you know, they are really tasty because they seem so incredibly happy walking around, doing whatever they want to do, drinking from the lake, eating the grass. You know, they're not fenced in. They can walk anywhere they want. And you get one of these, and they're going to be really, really good. It's just...
Yeah, and they're not fed up with hormones and other stuff they can't do.
Yeah.
You buy these animals directly from the growers, and you find out what they feed them, how organic it is. The cow we bought was totally grass-fed.
And then you read
turns out to be quite mild.
And then you read them a haiku.
and then boom.
Nice.
So, so we went to get a pig, and in the process, we listened to Howard Stern.
Oh, John, it's so nice to be associated with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Oryx.
Oh, yeah. Now, when we get back, we're going to go to Sebastian's place. Sebastian, the frogman, the French guy from the market in Austin, he apparently has a license for everything. He has a processing license, a kitchen license. Mickey was looking at his website. He says, the guy, he's got some awesome stuff. So, and he will make me go and shoot the Oryx. Which I think
that's going to cost you a lot of money if you do it that way. I thought you can just get the over.
No, we're getting a couple people together. It's $1,000, and I've never shot an animal in my life, so I'm not. You'll probably miss. No, I will not miss. But I think it is the right thing to do. In the circle of life,
you know Mark Zuckerberg.
No, please. Yeah, I mean everything was going so well.
Well, he only eats what he kills.
He's a douchebag. I don't give a crap about Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay, I'm just saying.
And now I feel like I'm on level with Mark Zuckerberg.
You wish.
No, I don't wish, John. No, I don't. I've been rich. I have no desire to be rich anymore.
All right.
And certainly
you're not going to get there from here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
No worries. Not going to happen. Oh, wow. Okay, I think we should end it here while we're on a high note of making 11-year-old girls cry as you kill their pig. This is a great...
Okay, well, we got it. Then I want to do an after-show clip.
Oh, what's your after-show clip?
Two-parter, drone show in Vegas.
Okay, you know what? Stop. Stop.
What?
We can't just do that as an after-show clip.
What, you want to talk about drones?
I love talking about drones.
Well, then hit the jingle.
No, that's a different thing. Well, okay, if you want the jingle, then...
Win, lose, or drone!
That's right, everybody. We've got a drone show going on in Vegas. Here's the man who kills pigs that belong to 11-year-old girls, John C. Dvorak, on Win, Lose, or Drone!
I didn't kill the pig. So, okay, we got the two-parter drone thing. There, you know, we missed this, by the way. I'm very annoyed. If I had known about this show, I would have gone to it.
I would have gone, too. I had no idea.
You know, listen to it, and it's cool because they have every kind of drone.
We
play part one.
Douchebags. I can't believe that.
Whether it's on the battlefield or providing security at high-profile events like the Olympics, these days drones or unmanned robots have come to play an increasingly critical role. Well, despite drawing controversy, their capabilities have often proved essential. So what will the drones of the future look like? Well, they've been on display in Las Vegas, and our correspondent, Alistair Leithhead, went to have a look.
They're all watching. Underwater, with the latest generation of robot submarines. In the air, flying themselves, usually with a military purpose. Or on land, going where humans can't, and all the time beaming back pictures.
Looking at the world's smallest tactical micro-robot, you pull the pin and the robot is on. You then throw it into your target and drive it around the building.
So what kind of things are you looking for up there at the moment?
Well, it could be just booby traps, people. Drive it around the building.
These are already being used by UK Special Forces and American troops in Afghanistan, but also by police forces and SWAT teams. Drones are being built with the military very firmly in mind, from those which can be sent out to kill or sent to spy on or fire on targets on the ground.
Couple of things. One, in the report, drones flying themselves, i.e. autonomous drones. Second yep. one, finding people through tripwire facial recognition.
They didn't say that.
No, but I did. Can't believe we missed this show.
Yeah, I know. It's very irksome.
And it's on the BBC. I didn't see any report about this.
Well, I don't know. But yeah, no, I didn't either. It's just only on the BBC. I was just, what? What?
Drone
anyway,
show.
Part two.
Okay, here we go.
Drones are becoming more and more sophisticated all the time. Whether it be the full-size helicopters that are flown without a pilot, down to the tiniest little spy drones. And as they move more into civilian airspace, people are worrying about Big Brother, about whether they could be under surveillance all the time.
Some police forces operate aerial drones already, and will use them more here as U.S. regulations are being relaxed.
We were very concerned about Americans taking this as a new normal. That this becomes the surveillance state or the police state becomes widely accepted by the general public as the new normal. That's not the kind of America that I think most of us want to live in. It's certainly not the kind of America that most of us grew up in.
Yeah, wow. Okay, you know what? You're going to get clip of the day for that. I think it was I think it was actually above and beyond my my Obama clip. That was actually outstanding, John.
Clip of the day. Because they dropped the meme bomb, the new normal.
Hey, citizen, it's the new normal.
Wow. Okay, well, we were going to go out on a high with the pig.
Why bother? We didn't get any money.
If you enjoyed the depressing nature of this program, turn off your television, read a book, and go eat a pig. My goodness. All right, next show, I think, will be from New Mexico, I believe. I'm not sure. So continue to follow us on the Hot Pockets Tour. Remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Support the show, will you? We're on the road here. And throw a burka on or throw a burka over that connect while you're at it.
Or mud.
Or mud. Or paint a third eye on your face. And we have a No Agenda producer update coming up with Ms. Mickey. She'll be telling you all about what's happening from her perspective here on the Hot Pockets 2009 tour. That will be on NoAgendaStream.com. Again, thanks to Chris and Lori Brashears and Mike Brashears, Vintage Airframes, for letting us hang out in front of Dottie Mae, M-A-E, everybody. Coming to you from Gitmo Nation Potato, where you can't get an Idaho potato. In the morning, everybody, my name is Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where you can get an Idaho potato, ironically enough, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll be back on Thursday, right here on No Agenda.
There's the family you're born with.
Yeah, you're a bigot.
I am extremely tolerant.
When they opened that Chipotle here, I was the first of my friends to go.
And there's the family you choose.
Why does a seemingly sane person gestate someone else's child?
I need a way to change my daughter's life. $35,000 is a huge chunk of money.
And you have no problem with doing this for two men?
Oh, no. A family is a family. And love is love.
Now, who's going to be the bio dad?
I am.
Uh-oh.
This fall, the creator of Glee brings you the portrait of a family where different is the new normal.
At work, I'm a rock, and at home, I'm a rock. Like what Simon and Garfunkel would refer to as an island.
Are those the doctors you work with?
Oh, my God.
This is a nightmare.
No, this ain't a nightmare.
Last time I checked, it was 2012. Now, why don't you take your racist mind back to the past?
I feel like I just ate a black and gay stew.
Wow. The new normal. Tuesdays this fall, here on NBC.
The best podcast in the universe.
Shut up, Slade.
Dvorak.org/NA.